Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Winners! We've got winners! The winners of Series Fest 2023's Independent Pilot Competition. They are en route to you next. Also ahead, Fall Back at the CW, more Snoopy shows from Apple TV+, the return of Futurama again, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Acast, Odyssey, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you and you and especially you out there, wherever you may be, for joining us for the show about programs, TV programs, current and future, and the TV medium, for that matter, overall. Happy to have you with us. 58 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. We have some wonderful people from Series Fest joining us from all over the U.S. of A. today, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we have our chat room in business for you. It's at SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or that room, and sooner or later, we can interact with you. And you can also interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. A trio of people from Series Fest, all winners, will join us from different parts of the U.S. of A. after these news notes. As you may have heard, the CW announced its fall schedule under new majority ownership from Nexstar this morning. I was at the press conference at the Park Lane Hotel across from Central Park and Central Park South, and here's what they announced. First of all, if the writer's strike does get settled before September, All American, the popular series on the CW, will be back as regular time period, Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific. That is, and if it isn't, it will be replaced by something else. We do not know yet the fate of All American's spinoff show, Homecoming. They will make a decision, that is, the CW's management will make a decision fairly soon. And again, it will depend on the Writers Guild situation. At 9 o'clock, it will be 61st Street. If the name sounds familiar, that is the AMC series starring Courtney B. Vance, whose first season was on AMC last year. The second season was on this year. Both seasons will run on the CW this fall, no matter what. On Tuesday, it's going to be a comedy night with four comedies running back to back to back. One is from the producers of Speaks Creek, can't say the word on television, called Son of a Crutch. And right after that, also out of Canada, Run the Burbs, which has been getting very, very good reviews. And also on the program will be Children Ruin Everything. This is a series that starred on the Roku channel, has done very well there. And the first two seasons will be presented on, with Roku's assistance, on the CW at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And then the next season will be running first on the CW before it goes on Roku. And finally, there is Everyone Else Burns. It is a sitcom from England that recently premiered on television there. It's going very, very well. Wednesday night will be an adult drama night. It will start with a Canadian show. Actually, both shows will be from Canada. One is called Sullivan's Crossing. It features some of the people that you may have remembered from Dawson's Creek. And then Leah Thompson will star in The Spencer Sisters, which appeared a few weeks ago on Canadian television. That will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Thursday nights will be reality night with the series F-Boy Island. Separate episodes will run hour-long at 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And in 2024, there'll be a spinoff show called F-Girl Island. And then on Friday, it is unscripted competition and fun night with Penn and Teller Fool Us back for a new season at 8 p.m. And then Whose Line Is It Anyway? 2.5 hours back-to-back at 9 p.m. You may remember that Dan Patterson, the creator of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And The Great American Joke-Off was on our program a couple of weeks ago. Incidentally, Great American Joke-Off is going to be renewed for a second season in 2024. And then on Saturday night, it will be Massive Illusion at 8, followed by World's Funniest Animals at 9. On Sunday night, it will be movies, documentary movies to start under the I Am banner. So that is what is taking place. And there's a lot of programs, by the way, that are in development at the CW, including a new spinoff series of the popular TNT program, The Librarians, featuring executive produced by Dean Devlin. And there's also going to be a series from the executive producer of Game of Thrones, Frank Dolger, called The Swarm. It has already been seen in parts of Europe and already off to the races, doing very, very well. And we'll keep you posted, of course, as to what the CW does this fall and beyond in 2024. And we will hope to have some of the producers behind those shows on future Tomorrow Be Televised episodes. Now, more news notes. Settle in for more Snoopy-originated Peanuts programming on Apple TV Plus this summer and beyond. Season 3 of The Snoopy Show will begin on June 9th, followed by the first of two Snoopy Presents specials, August 18th, and then one in 2024, respectively. One-of-a-Kind Miracle will precede Welcome Home Franklin. That's the one coming next year. And look for a second Snoopy program, Camp Snoopy, set in the great outdoors, to unfold in 2024. The tune that keeps on rebirthing, no matter what, is ready to be born again. We're talking about Futurama, coming to Hulu with all new episodes July 24th. It's the first fling for this former Fox and Comedy Central series in a decade. The key voice cast, Billy West, Katie Seagal, and John DiMaggio, are back, as will end as well. 20 episodes are confirmed to roll out through Hulu. And now, quickies. Sixth-episode miniseries Full Circle, teaming director Steven Soderbergh with writer Ed Solomon, goes on Max, not HBO Max, as of next Tuesday, Max, July 13th. Uncharted documentary miniseries Unknown hits Netflix July 3rd. Four episodes cover the Lost Pyramid, Killer Robot, A Cave of Bones, and A Cosmic Time Machine, in that order. Two short-run PBS miniseries, Human Footprint and Southern Storytellers, will premiere July 5th and 18th, respectively. And Playful with TCL Smart Television Sets can now get Cowboy Way Channel, offering a mix of scripted and scripted series with a Western flavor, current and classic. And that is news notes for today. Well, we are now going to do what is one of my favorite segments all year, and that is to talk to the winners of the recent Series Fest 2023 Independent TV Series Pilot Competition. We have three of the winners on the line for you, so let's meet them one by one. First of all, joining us live from Hampton Bays, New York, that's in New York City, is the drama winner for a program called Humanize. That is Gabriel Gamarez. Gabriel, welcome in. Happy to have you here.
Hi, so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And your counterpart in the unscripted category for a program called The Big Idea, he is joining us from Maplewood, New Jersey. That is Tom Mason. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. And rounding out our trio, who was involved in a unique competition called Pitchathon, is the winner of that Pitchathon competition with a program called The Death Doula. And her name is Brittany Ballard. She joins us live from Denver, Colorado, the home of Series Fest. Welcome in, Brittany.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Simon.
It is a pleasure to have all three of you here. And Gabriel, we'll start with you. Tell us about Humanize. How did that come to be?
Yeah, so Humanized is a coming-of-age sci-fi drama about this robot who is posing as a typical teenager to mask this very haunting secret. But I'm not going to spoil what that secret is. It's sort of revealed at the end of the pilot. But it's really, you know, a show about identity, and this robot was programmed to be one thing, and he's really forging his own sort of identity as he sort of finds himself throughout the series. But, you know, it's a funny story how it sort of came to be. I was living in New York at the time. It was my first year of college, and I'm from the countryside, so I really like grass, you know, and I miss that because, you know, in the city, obviously concrete jungle, what have you. And I came across this courtyard of recently mowed grass, and I was, like, taken aback, you know, taken home. It was not a good first year for me, and that reassured me. And I was really thinking about that experience, like, how would you ever describe this sort of, like, very human moment? You know, I'm sure we've all been there and had, a similar sort of experience. You know, you just experience something that, you know, you love or whatever. You know, how would I ever explain that to someone who's not human or who's learning to be human? And I have this other fascination for AI and technology, so really, that's where the story originally started, was like, I want to tell a story about a robot becoming human. And that's basically where Humanize was born.
There have been quite a lot of fiction and television and movies dealing with the subject of AI, artificial intelligence. For example, Steven Spielberg's movie comes to mind. Was there any particular program or TV episode or film or book that inspired you to tackle that theme?
I don't think directly. I am sort of like an Apple fanboy, or I was in the past. So I like technology more so because of that and less because of like the actual implications that AI is having like currently. I did really like Ex Machina, though. I will say Ex Machina and Westworld were probably two pieces of media that sort of stuck out to me and an aesthetic that I really liked.
Tom, talk about your unscripted winner, The Big Idea. It's actually a series, and you put one of the episodes up for the competition.
Yeah, so The Big Idea was born about 2 years ago, actually, when MIT Solve and one of their sponsors, HP, came up with the idea that it would be really interesting to document the process of people going through the MIT Solve Incubator program. Basically, what that is a program based out of MIT that takes people who have amazing world-changing ideas and then supports and nurtures and funds them and sort of helps them to take those from being just a great idea to something that is actually out in the world making a difference. So they came to us about 2 years ago, us being Red Glass Pictures, which is my documentary production company with my co-director, Sarah Klein, with this idea to tell the stories of some of the people who go through this program. So we ended up doing three films. We broke them up into individual short documentaries. The first one was about a woman named Kitty Liao, who is a cryogenics expert. She worked on the Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Switzerland. And she heard about the problem of last-mile vaccine spoilage. Basically, about half of all the vaccines that are produced in the world end up going bad and spoiling and not getting used. And one of the big reasons is that they can't get to the people who need them at a consistent cold temperature. So they spoil. And so long story short, she invented a cooler that is about 10 times better than anything else that is out there. The film is about her trying to get that cooler out there in use in the field. Next one was about a woman named Danielle Boyer, who is a really amazing indigenous woman. She's Ojibwe. She was 20 years old when we started filming her, and she is trying to bring robotics into indigenous schools here in the United States. And so we followed her through her mission to develop robots at a low cost that could get out there and be used in STEM education in indigenous schools. The third was a woman named Kimberly Seals Allers, who's a really inspiring maternal health advocate who wanted to take on the problem of black maternal mortality in our country, which is many times higher than for any other ethnic group, both maternal mortality and infant mortality. And she decided to create a Yelp-like review platform called Earth, IRTH, where women of color can review their obstetricians, pediatricians, hospital experiences for the benefit of everyone else out there. And her hope is that through doing this and creating transparency and public accountability with the healthcare system, that those women will receive better care in a way that will influence that maternal mortality rate in a positive way.
Brittany, unlike our other two guests, you didn't have to make a show. You had to pitch a show before various judges. And here's what the jury that dealt with your and other pitches had to say about yours, The Deaf Doula. Here's what he said, and I quote, "It's not only an original, personal, and contemporary idea with a clear reason as to why it's being told, but it's deeply human, and its themes are universal in a way that has the potential to resonate with a global audience." Sounds very ambitious.
Yes, it is, but it's also 100% relatable, and you know, we all die, and so it connects us all in a really meaningful way. So The Deaf Doula is a one-hour cathartic drama full of levity that follows Shay, a funky labor and delivery nurse, speaking of maternal mortality rates, who strikes out on her own to become a novice Deaf Doula. And it has the comedy of Insecure and the edginess of Better Things, the levity of Dead to Me, and, of course, the longevity of Grey's Anatomy, because people will never stop dying. And I started this journey 9 months ago when I got the worst call of my life. My mom called from the ER to tell me she had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And that call changed my entire trajectory. It birthed this series. I began writing and developing this show. And now I'm a novice death doula myself. And death doulas, for those who may or may not be totally familiar with that, it's an ancient role that people play for people who are dying, going through the dying process. They serve them and their loved ones, much like a birth doula or a birth midwife serves the woman in labor and her family before, during, and after birth. Death doulas serve the family and the dying person before, during, after death. But what happened, Series Fest was incredible, and one of the things that happened is we realized as we developed this pitch, my EP, Gabrielle Glore, and I, that this show really, it's about death, but it's really about all the little deaths that create space and love and opening in our lives. So, and rites of passage for those deaths, be it like a friend breakup, a divorce, retirement, the, you know, changing jobs, changing homes. And as a death doula myself, my first client was actually a woman who wanted to have a funeral for her former self before she had children to kind of, you know, say goodbye to that woman and enter into this new phase of her life. So it's very human and very cathartic and also very funny because, you know, people can be very people-y when it comes to grief and death and transition. So we're really excited.
You are hearing three of the Series Fest independent TV pilot makers this afternoon here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Live from Hampton Bays, New York, we have the drama winner, Gabriel Gamaris. We have the unscripted or documentary winner, Tom Mason, from Maplewood, New Jersey. And from Denver, Colorado, the site and big home of Series Fest from the get-go, the Pitch-a-thon winner, Brittany Ballard. And they're all with us right here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and they want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is Simon Apple. I'm with you live wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining us on our Thursday afternoon episode. This is the first of 4 episodes that we are doing over the next 5 days. We're back tomorrow. We have a special Sunday morning episode. We'll tell you about that in a bit. And we'll also be on the following Monday. So we hope you'll be with us if you're a newcomer to the show. And, by the way, coming your way tomorrow, we will have a former USA Network publicist at Madison Square Garden Network 2. His name is Mark Braff. He's just come out with a brand-new book called Sons of Baseball. It's his first book, and it's all about conversations between fathers and sons in the world of that sport. And later in the program, we will have one of the kingpins on scripted television. You know him from shows like American Ninja Warrior, Kitchen Nightmares, and Hell's Kitchen. Yes, Kitchen Nightmares is coming back for a new season, first in a while, with Gordon Ramsay. His name is Arthur Smith. He runs his own production company, A. Smith & Company. He's won a lot of awards over the years. He'll be with us live as well. It's all coming away tomorrow. 3 p.m. Eastern, in the Civic here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Gabriel, and I'll ask everybody else this, what was the biggest challenge for you in making, because you were both a writer and also an executive producer, what was the biggest challenge for you in making the pilot?
So I made this as a student in my senior year of college at NYU with an entirely student crew, and we had just come back from COVID, so none of us had actually made any sort of, like, big-scale production. So just about every aspect of this was pretty challenging. But I'll say probably, like, the biggest was just, like, budget constraints. Luckily, like, NYU helped us fund part of the project, but everything else had to be crowdfunded. And just because, like, the world is very specific in the show, you know, we wanted to portray something that is sort of modern. So it was just hard, like, logistically to find, like, a modern house to film in or, like, a, you know, wardrobe that conveys the sort of prestige that all of our characters have. They're all a bit wealthy. So I'd say that was probably the biggest hurdle for us.
Tom, what about you as director of Big Ideas?
Well, this probably sounds funny coming from a documentarian, but the biggest challenge for us was not knowing what's going to happen. At Red Glass Pictures, we typically in the past have made a lot of stories, told a lot of stories that have already happened. Either they took place in the past or They've recently come to some sort of conclusion. So we can go into it with a really tidy production plan of knowing what our narrative arc is going to be, what we're interviewing to, what we're shooting to, what's important, what's not. And we have that perspective. In this case, the challenge was starting at the beginning of a process where we didn't know how it was going to end. We didn't know if these women were going to have any success getting their ideas out. We didn't know what that would look like, where that would take them. Would their stories come to a satisfying conclusion? So we were building the bridge as we were walking across it, which was a scary thing for us. And thankfully, without spoiling anything, they all did come to satisfying conclusions. They all got somewhere different than where they started and were changed by the process. And we think everybody will enjoy seeing them.
And Brittany, for you, what was the biggest challenge both in creating the pitch and then delivering it to a jury?
Yeah, so, you know, it's not my strength to be concise, and you have to, you know, you have to pitch an entire series, multiple seasons, 6 seasons in 5 minutes. So it's all about concision and really being clear. And so what happens when you're forced into a small time constraint is you have to be impeccable, and you have to be very, very clear about what your show is and what you want to say, and most importantly, what you don't want to say. So it was an incredible challenge and an incredible experience, and one that I'll cherish and use as a pitch, you know, to develop pitches as we begin to share after the strike this show with potential partners, many of whom we met at Series Fest. And I'll just say for the writing part, because I'm in the writing, we have a sample episode of season finale and the pilot written. The creation of this while taking care of my mom and my two little kids was definitely a superhuman feat that I feel very proud of and excited to share with the world when the time is right.
Bethany, I'll start with you on this. What was the biggest thing you learned out of Series Fest, especially given the fact that a lot of key writers and producers and showrunners could not be there because of the writer's strike?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, we're definitely in solidarity with the WGA. I think it's in a huge, the industry is in a huge transition. I think there's a lot of pain on, you know, a lot of people are losing their jobs, and a lot of people are fighting the really good fight. And so, number one, I feel in total solidarity and support of that strike and of unions overall. And I think on the exciting end for artists, there's going to be more risk-taking. I mean, you talk about AI. You know, if you want to be a writer, you better be yourself because AI cannot be you. And AI can also not be death doulas. So just learning more about how the more you're yourself and true to your material and specific, the more universal your story is and the more audiences you can reach with it. And just having that confidence and having that fluidity and going with the flow. I mean, we can control very few things. And so just continuing to adapt and move with the natural rhythm of the industry is really important, even if it's challenging for us as artists.
Tell me about you.
Oh, well, I wasn't able to attend Series Fest, unfortunately, but you know, we really appreciate the recognition and the positive feedback we got from it, and you know, hope that it allows us to find a home for the big idea from a distribution side going forward.
And Gabriel, what was the big challenge for you? What was the most important thing you learned from Series Fest, the most important feedback?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny. While we were at Series Fest, we watched a lot of projects that were, you know, I learned the importance of a pilot that pulls you in, but purposely doesn't give you what you want. Because that forces an audience to keep watching, and I feel like that's probably, like, the most important takeaway. Because we saw a lot of pilots that were absolutely, like, extraordinary, but they didn't always make me question, okay, what's going to happen next? And that's, like, really the main thing you want from a series, right, is to have something that the audience is invested in right away.
In a moment, we're going to ask our trio of series best winners, are they getting nibbles from anyone for the pilots and pitches they have created? We're happy to have you with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, live from Nueva York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Sam, I'm with you at 58 degrees near the bottom of the hour. If a question or comment, our many minutes with our series best winners, our wonderful trio at hand from different places. Gabriel Morris from Hampton Bays, New York, Tom Mason from Maplewood, New Jersey, and Brittany Ballard from Denver, Colorado, the home of Series Fest from the inception. Give them a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I mentioned that we're going to have a special weekend edition, our first ever of this program, this coming Sunday, May 21st, special time, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. We will go live to Tel Aviv, Israel. We'll speak with former Cablevision Systems, now Optimum, independent and interactive guru, Jonathan Voltax. He has an interactive game service that's now playing around the country on smart TV sets and devices called Play.Works. He has just signed a YouTube personality to create content, including a game and videos for that service. And we may have more news for you when we speak with Jonathan on Sunday. That's this Sunday, May 21st, special weekend edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. That's Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, either at Series Fest or since, have you gotten any nibbles from people who want to take your show on?
We do. Unfortunately, I can't go into great detail on them because they're nibbles and, they're in discussion. But we have had a lot of interest from film festivals also. Coming up, we are going to be in competition at Tribeca X, which is part of the Tribeca Film Festival. And so that's exciting, and hopefully all of this leads to more public-facing distribution.
And Gabriel, what about you?
No nibbles as of yet. We are only just starting our festival circuit, so hopefully we'll also be making our way around to New York and Los Angeles later in the year, and hopefully those opportunities can hopefully foster some nibbles, but nothing yet, Simon.
Do you have a service that you would like to be on if everything clicks?
Like a dream? I mean, I think we'd all love to be on
Netflix.
Yeah,
whether it's Netflix or Peacock or Amazon Freebie or some new service we don't know about yet.
I mean, I think Max would definitely be the top tier. But, yeah, Netflix, Hulu, Sci-Fi even, I think would be very fitting for our program specifically.
And, Brittany, your Pitch-a-thon has some interesting sponsors, World Bank of Canada, Dilettante Productions, Working Artist Group. Have any of them suggested that they might take you on?
Well, I mean, everything is a little bit out of standstill, right, given respecting the pause of the strike. But certainly my executive producer and I are really excited about some of the incredible connections I made with other artists, particularly Black women, who we would really like to have be part of our project behind and in front of the camera. And we look forward to continuing those conversations with creative team members potentially after the strike, as well as we're excited to focus on conversations around management opportunities to represent me as a writer and the creator of this show. So we're being as productive as we can and refining our materials to be ready post-strike to share on a larger level and follow up with all the beautiful conversations and connections we had and made at Series Fest.
Before we leave you and I leave our guests, I just want to say congratulations to all 55 independent TV series pilots for being shown at Series Fest. We're having to deal with, unfortunately, the fact that a lot of the panel screenings or screenings of shows that are coming up on various networks had to have their panels yanked out because of the writer's strike that actors, writers, directors, and showrunners were out on the picket lines and so forth, or out of the situation. And we also want to let you know that we are also going to have on Alicia Chenoweth. She is the best comedy series winner. She is the writer and the co-star of a series or a series possibility called Chansky. And we want to let you know that we will get in contact with her. We'll find out what happened, not being on today, and we will invite her to come on the program either tomorrow or sometime next week. So just to let you know, we'll certainly keep you posted on that. And if you want to know more about Series Fest and what it's up to every year. By the way, it's a year-round organization. They're doing a lot of things. Hopefully we'll do something in New York down the road. Go to SiriusFest.com. That's SiriusFest.com. Next year, check it out in Denver. You'll have a fantastic time for sure. Gabriel, Tom, Brittany, thank you all very much for being with us. Congratulations on your win. And hopefully we'd love to have you back on this program when your pilots become series.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Simon.
Thanks, Simon. Have a great one.
You're very welcome. All the best to all three of you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks.
Gabriel Valares, Tom Mason, and Bethany Billiard, or Brittany Billiard, joining us live from Hampton Bays, New York, Maplewood, New Jersey, and Denver, Colorado, respectively. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and we'll also let you know why we had issues with our show last Friday. We think we have gotten the mystery solved, and we'll let you know about it. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, twitter.com, tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want some great Latin music, check out the Eddie Rodriguez Tribute Special tonight on BTR. It's 9:10 Eastern, 6:10 Pacific. Eddie Rodriguez, one of the classic people in the world of Latino musica. Check it out. The Eddie Rodriguez Tribute Special is here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best Beat Charts comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Also available on smart TV sets and devices. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Thursday episode coming your way. It is now past 3:30 of Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, wherever you are. Thank you for tuning us in. And it's 58 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Coming up, classic trivia question. We have some prizes in play for you if you know the answer. And we'll also get to the idea of why we had that crazy issue with our show last Friday. Also, I want to let you know that we had our last half hour, the trio of Series Fest winners. I want to thank each and every one of them for not only being on today, but also being very flexible with their time. We originally were going to have two guests in our hour before, and they were initially scheduled to be on in our second hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. We were supposed to have Steve Mandela, Chief Revenue and Local Media Officer of Estrella Media, one of the top executives of all Spanish language television, and Brightline Chief Accelerator Michael Bologna. Steve, as we mentioned last week, had a death in the family. We rescheduled him for today. Unfortunately, we learned that he could not be with us. We are resetting him for next Friday. That's next Friday, May 26th, the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. And as far as Michael is concerned, we found out earlier this morning that he could not make it because of all the situations going on with Brightline and their work behind the scenes at the Upfront Week of Events that just wrapped up earlier today here in New York, where major organizations like Warner Bros. Discovery, Fox, NBC Universal, et cetera, showcase what they're up to this coming season and beyond to advertisers, agencies, and people like me, for people like you. So that's the situation there. And we're sorry to tell you that Michael will not be with us. He unfortunately decided to back totally out. We apologize. We're deeply disappointed. And I hope that maybe down the road we'll get something from Brightline on our show in the very near future. All right. So that explains. So again, thank you to our trio from Series Fest for being very gracious of moving their timetable up from next hour to this hour, the half hour we just had. And we thank them for that. Again, congratulations to them and all the Series Fest pilot makers for what they accomplished in Denver a couple of weeks ago. Now, time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're pressed with the correct answer, we got some nice prizes for you. We have a Starbucks reward card, courtesy of the BBC. We have the Canela Kids Super Ellis coloring book and coloring crayons. And they're all coming your way if you're first with the correct answer by email to this question. Name the actor who played the Rebel on The Rebel. Rebel being Johnny Yuma, that's the character's name, and that, of course, is the ABC popular Western series that ran from 1959 to 1961, had a Johnny Cash theme song, and you can find episodes on YouTube. Name the actor who played the Rebel on The Rebel. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address, so if you're first with the correct answer, you win, and we get the prize out to you. As soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post a question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Do so. And all the very best. If we have time, we'll repeat the question for you before we leave you today. Now, From time to time on this program, we encounter something that reminds us in a shocking way that for all the brilliance of the Internet, and it is one of the most brilliant communication tools ever devised, that it is very fragile, extremely fragile. And I'm sure that other podcasters have also had similar situations. This one, however, that took place on Friday was really out of the ordinary because it was a combination of two things. One, a technical glitch, probably at Blog Talk Radio's end. And secondly, the area where I am speaking to you right now, somewhere in New York City, had a power outage involving the cable system that we used to get on the web and get this program on the air. And we did not know that the power outage happened until after we went off the air. So let me give you the timeline. I usually call in a Blog Talk to set up our show about a half hour before we go on the air. I get my computer screen, I then do a Facebook or Twitter posting, let folks know that we're coming on, who our guests will be. And then about quarter to the hour, I then actually get my speakerphone, smartphone, and that becomes my microphone, and I call Blog Talk to set that up. As it turned out, the power outage happened, it looks like, as I was calling, or shortly after I dialed in. And what happened was that on my computer studio screen, I did not get the icons that show me that I'm on the air, that I will be on the air, and my microphone is working, and B, above the icons, the on-air screen, that on-air was not on, and the time was on, which usually is, the timing of the show, how many minutes I have. And number one, I did not get my guests on the air because there was no screen that I could see that they would be on, because I mute them on the air. We do a sound check about 5-10 minutes before we go on with all of our guests. And secondly, when the on-air light was supposed to flash, it didn't. So I didn't know going forward, going into the program Friday, whether I was actually talking, where I was actually communicating with you out there. As it turned out, yes, I was. However, I could not get my guests on. There was that technical glitch that did not allow the icons that showed me that a guest was ready to go on the air, put them on. So it ended up being yours truly for about 20-25 minutes doing news notes, classic trivia question, commentary, etc. So that's what happened, folks, and we cut the show off about a half hour in. And then I called up my cable operator, and they told me, yep, we have a power outage. It impacted my television set. It impacted my internet feed, my cable modems as well. And as it turned out, the cable service did not get back on until about 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. So there's the explanation. It was a combo of things. I apologize for the breakdown. I did hear from somebody afterwards saying they didn't hear me on the air. And leave it at that. Hopefully, this is a very freaky occurrence. And I am taking precautions to make sure that my modem is fully on before I get into Blog Talk Radio and get the program technically in gear to be started on time and to work. So I want you to know I'm taking precautions. I'm taking some actions and making it go. Nobody's wrong here, by the way. Not making anybody wrong. That's just what so, what cooked. And now you know. Or as Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. All right, we're going to do one before we leave you. We're going to give you one more time that classic trivia question. Name the rebel, or should I say name the actor, who played the rebel on The Rebel. That's ABC's Western series from 1959 to 1961. It had the great theme song by Johnny Cash. Johnny Yuma was the character. You can see episodes on YouTube, all over the place. If you know the answer, email me. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First, with that correct answer, you win our Starbucks Award card furnished by the BBC. It was given out at the podcast upfront last week from the Interactive Ad Bureau. Vanilla Kids is an original coloring book for Super Ellis, wonderful series, which has been renewed for a second season. And crayons to accompany the coloring book for you or your great small fry at home. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Again, one last time, thank you to our trio from Series Fest for being here today. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. We are back tomorrow, our second of four episodes over the next 5 days. Joining me tomorrow will be the former TV PR person, now the author of a wonderful new book called Sons of Baseball, getting great reviews, Mark Brown. I think it'd be a television series. Awesome about that, too. And then later in the program, we'll have one of the kingpins of unscripted reality television. His credits include Kitchen Nightmares and Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay and American Ninja Warrior, which I think will be starting a new season soon on NBC, Arthur Smith. And don't forget, this Sunday, live from Tel Aviv, Israel, in an Internet Radio exclusive, Jonathan Boltax from Playworks, the interactive game and video venture available on smart TV sets and smart devices. That's 9 a.m. Eastern, a.m. Pacific, our first ever weekend episode in the 15-plus years of Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And anytime you like, check us on podcasts. A lot of people have lately. I want to thank everybody for the wonderful surge in replays on Blog Talk Radio and elsewhere over the last 4 or 5 days. Keep it up. So remember, you can check us out anytime you like on Acast, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Podbean, all sorts of great places. And if there is a website or podcast site that you like that doesn't make our show, let me know about it. Let me know who to talk to. We'll talk and make something happen. And for those of you who missed my show Friday, I do want to say that I podcast up front here in New York. It was a fantastic time. Met a lot of wonderful podcast producers, advertisers. I had a great conversation with Suzanne Grimes, the head of Westwood One, works with Cumulus Podcast Network. And keep your fingers crossed. We're going to try to see if we can get our show on one or both these places. I'm happy to say that we made contact early this week with one of the key programming people at Westwood One and Cumulus Media. And hopefully we'll make something happen. Keep you posted. So and if you do hear us on podcast, please say thank you to the podcast distributors, whether it is Google Podcasts or iTunes or iHeartRadio or Acast, et cetera, because they really do want to hear you and your feedback about our podcast and all the other great podcast shows and series that they make available to you, the listener. So please do that. They will really appreciate it. All right? And in the meantime, we want to hear from you. We're thinking about our Series Fest trio today. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? I'd love to hear what you think about the writer's strike and about AI, artificial intelligence. By the way, I will have some thoughts about the writer's strike and some final thoughts about the upfronts as well. We'll have a takeaway of the week story, too, as well. A lot of things happened this week that were very, very interesting and very noteworthy in terms of trends impacting the future of television. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And you can also find me at our wonderful website, TomorrowBeTelevised.com. We have a special box on the home screen that you can use to submit questions and thoughts. If we use your suggestions or questions on the air, you, of course, get the credit. So make sure you use TomorrowBeTelevised.com. That's MarvinTelevised.com. Great job by the fine folks and our friends at On Podium. So remember, we love hearing from you. Do hear from us. How do we make that communication happen? Email me. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And as soon as you do, as soon as we get back to you, we promise you that we will respond to whatever you have to say within 24 hours. And why we make that promise to you? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Soderbergh is head of content. Websites are provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vakas is our web coordinator. It's Marvin Televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. back tomorrow, Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker to the Radio, and all of our great podcasts and website destinations. Whatever you're doing now and then, please make it safe and also make it great not only for you, but others you love too. Really? Really. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.